You're listening to a message brought to you by Christian Life Church. If you would like to find out more about us, go to www.clch.cc.
In our next four Sundays, starting today, we're going to be talking a little bit about words that represent what the meaning of Christmas brought to us. We're going to be talking about hope, we're going to be talking about joy, we're going to be talking about peace, we're going to be talking about love, because this is the promise that Jesus brought to us when he came to earth, when he came to us. And I've been meditating, and today I want to make it really personal, because as you know, we have been, and I want to tell you a little bit about my story, because it is really special time of our life. This has been an intense year for us. I became 40 years old. I don't look like, thank you very much. Oh, thank you very much. Really kind to say that. And this year has been an intense year for us. A lot of things happened in a painful way, in a good way as well. And this year was a fulfillment of something that God said to me when I was 16 years old. As you know, my accent shows that I'm not British, I'm not French, I'm not Italian, I'm Brazilian. And when I was 16 years old, God said to me, my church back in Brazil, we used to have every 2 years a group coming to the UK. So the Hankins, they've met me when I was 16 years old, pretty much that time. They were 16 as well at that time. Yeah, my Christmas present will be good this year. And pretty much we came in a group, and the first city that I visited was Hereford. So we came straight, we landed in London, we came to Hereford, and the first night I stayed in this city, I was hosted by Malcolm and Heather Willis, a family that we just love so much. They have also moved. Apparently people like to move in this place. But then my first night I did not sleep. I remember it was the first time that I was just in the room in their house, and I was baptized by the Holy Spirit. I started praying in tongues. No one prayed for me. No one did anything. I was just over there, and the Spirit of God came over the room and visited me. And one of the things that he said to me on that first evening, on the 15th or 16th of June of 2001, that he was going to bring my family to serve and to help building the church in Hereford. He was going to establish us over here. And that was something that I always grasped to my heart. I always believed on that. I always understood that God said that. And pretty much, I was 16 years old and now I'm 40. And this year, last month, we were finally allowed, approved to have our leave to remain. So pretty much we don't need visa anymore. We are settled. My children are now dual citizenship. They are British and Brazilian now. After a long story, a not cheap process. So don't, if you hear things that immigrants, they steal all our money. This is not true. It is not true at all. Okay? And we are now established in the UK. But it is something, because usually when we read the Bible, when we read the Word of God, we don't grasp the full understanding that we will be required faith. Because I think we know the end of pretty much all the stories in the Bible. So you read about Noah, and you know that at the end of the story, the boat was ready, and the rain came, and his family was saved. And even though there was mess after that, but you know pretty much the story. When you read about Abraham, you don't suffer too much, because you know that at the end of the story, you already heard that God came and he spared the child. So I don't think we fully grasp the understanding when we read those things. When you read that Paul was on the way to Rome and suddenly his boat starts sinking and he's over there grasping pieces of wood and say, don't worry, God said I need to get to Rome. I'm going to get there anyway. And God said no one will die, so don't worry. And we don't grasp, they understand that they were in the middle of a storm, because pretty much we know he got over there. And sometimes I think we read the Bible, of the Word of God, and we don't grasp the full of their understanding that our story will require from us faith. Actually, what God is doing in us, it will be impossible to build that if we don't have faith. And it's beautiful because my last month, I was extremely stressed. I was extremely trying not to overthink this. But I was like, God, I believed you said that you were going to establish us in the UK. And my friend, this is this story. You may know that we have, so we came in 2014 to talk to the churches over here. God told us that he wanted to bring us to Hereford. My wife and I, we were married. And God started to say, time has come to move to the UK. And we came. There was no invitation from other churches. When our pastors from our previous church in Brazil came, there was always an invitation from a church to receive them over here. But when we came, there was no intention. The church they were hardly knowing who were the Brazilians anymore. So we visited a lot of churches, and God said, and I said, God, I want the answer from the place where you're going to bring to come from my wife. Not because I was too prophetic, just because if ever she comes to say, look where you brought us, I will tell her, no, you chose to come over here. So it's not, yeah, husbands, be wise, okay? Yeah, but I said this something, I want the answer to come from my wife. And we went back home. Tim mentioned to us at the time that the church was not open and ready to receive any new Brazilians coming. He had a desire still, but they would demand a long conversation with the trustees and everything else. And we went back home with pretty much understanding from her lips that the place was Hereford, yes, but there was no proper intention and for the church over here to receive anyone that time. And we said, well, we tried. God is good. And 6 months later, the church contacted us saying, we started this conversation about receiving you. It would still take a long time, a long process. And now I said, well, now God is done. God said, I believe on that. It will work. So I started planning my mind. I'm going to quit my job. I'm going to do this. I'm going to save. And we decided, the first thing we decided to do was to move to my parents-in-law's house so we could save money. We moved to his house, to their house. We sold everything, all our furniture. We moved to his house. 1 month later, my father-in-law was made redundant. And I said, we want to honor him because it's his house. So instead of us saving money, we would give the entire salary that I was earning into his hands. And I said, I want to honor you because it's your house. And you pay whatever you have to pay. And it's your house, and we want to honor you on that. And we could not earn, and we could not save the money, but we wanted to honor everything on this process. And then on my mind, I started to, okay, but still, in a month time, in a year time, we're going to be moving. And that was 2015, pretty much. And I said, okay, 2016, we're going. Nothing, no answer yet. It is an extremely bureaucratic process. And suddenly, I was, in my mind, preparing to someone in my job. I used to be a marketing strategy coordinator in a company, and I was preparing someone to take my position, and the company changed the person who was responsible, the CIO of the company, and this person came to me saying, JP, we need to do changes, and in this process, we're going to have to to get some people redundant on this process, and I want you to sack this person, specific person, which was the person I was preparing to be on my position when time was come, so I could not leave the company not looked after properly. I said, God, you know, and this person was a woman of God, the only one working in her family. She was living with her mom and her sister. None of them were working at the time, and I said, God, what do I do now? Because you called, you said that you were going to do something, and now over here, and I don't want to be in the position where I'm going to fire her, and then 2 months later, I'm saying, no, it's my time to leave. I don't want to dishonor the process of my integrity with you, but I can also not quit. I have bills to pay. So you are looking to the situation, do something. And God did. So I was going to fire her, literally. I had an RHA person on a room waiting for me. I had all the papers. I walked across the corridor, and I saw the CIO, and he said, please, JP, do not fire her yet. Let's see if we can keep the whole company, the whole department of yours. I said, brilliant, God. Yes, come on, you did something. Praise God. 2 weeks later, I got into, on a Monday morning, I got to the office, and he called me and said, JP, we did some math, and actually we're going to have to fire you. And I said, well, I prayed. Next time you don't pray. But then, literally, I was the one sucked. God heard my voice. I prayed that I didn't want her to be sucked because, yeah, and God said. And it's beautiful because when I was getting fired, my wife sent me a message. Because she was working in this company, it was all her dream to work. And she always was, she was brought up to be an extremely successful woman. She is. She got married to me, come on. And she was prepared and she was always dreaming. And finally, she was in the position and the place. And she was being offered a huge promotion and everything else. And she was in the company that she always dreamed to be. In the department of marketing, she always dreamed to be. And suddenly, while I was getting fired, she sent me a message. And I read the message as my CIO was firing me. And she said, I can't explain this, but I am looking all around here in the company, and God's telling me that this is not my place. And I said, God, thank you so much, because it would be really difficult for me to come back to my wife now and say, I'm fired. But at the same time, you were preparing her heart to receive this message and releasing us for what you have for us. And we went for it. And then I said, God, now I need to look after myself, my bills, my family, and everything else. And I got a contact from a company in Brazil who wanted me to do a kind of, when you hire a company to help you with, I forgot the name now, a contractor, yes. So to do a 3 months project, 4 months project, something like that, on marketing strategy. And literally, they offered me an amount of money that was the same cents of my previous salary. Literally, even the same cents. And I said, God is good. Because they are offering me this 3-4 months, I don't remember how long anymore, contract, because God knows that in 3-4 months, I'm going to go to the UK. And this 3-4 months finished, and we didn't come. And I was like, God, I still don't know what to do, because I can't lose my integrity. I need to apply for jobs now. But how can I go to a job interview and they're going to ask me, the first thing they're going to ask me, at least in Brazil, is where do you see yourself in 3 years' time? And I'm going to have to answer, not here. And because I cannot lie. And also, I don't want to lose my integrity to be over there. So I said, God, I can't send my CVs. I can't do this. 2 weeks later, a lady contacted me saying, JP, she is from a bilingual school in Brazil, and she said, the English coordinator in here is living on a pregnancy leave, and I need someone to cover her for a year. Can you be this person? I only need for a year. I said, God, you're faithful. And I came to her because I knew her. I said, look, I need this job, but I cannot lose my integrity on this process. I might need to leave earlier. Are you okay with that? And she said, I can discharge you. I can let you go in 6 months' time. Is it okay? And we came to an agreement that was brilliant. And literally, my contract had finished in December. 1 week later, we were applying for a visa to come. And I'm telling you this story because it doesn't get easier yet. We said goodbye to our family in March. We applied for our visa. We went to the immigration, to the embassy in Rio. We applied for our visa. We got approved. We said goodbye to all our family, friends, and church. All the big cry. You see the photo. Everyone is smiling. My father-in-law is over there like, really miserable for. And we took our first flight. 1 hour later, our passports were stolen. And I remember we were in the airport in Belo Horizonte, the capital of our state, and they searched the airplane. They didn't find anything over there. We didn't forget in the airplane. And I remember Paul and I, we went all around looking if maybe they dropped somewhere. And I still nowadays remember the smell of the bins, because we went messing, taking all the bins to see if somehow they threw over there. Because we were just desperate. And I still remember. And it's beautiful because we had to go back to our city. I didn't want to talk to anyone. I was so devastated. And I said, God, why? Why are you doing this? you said that you were going to bring us. You said you were going to establish us over here. And I remember my wife laying on the floor of the airport, and you would consider her dead. We were so broken. We were so devastated. And I was saying, God, you said, I know you said. So why, what is this happening? And we went back to our city. We applied for all our documents again. We had to go back to Rio to reapply for a new stamp of the visa. And then we came. And we spent the first year, we went back to Brazil to renew our visa over there again. And I remember when we were set at the same airport, but everything happened. We went for lunch and we sat in front of one of the bins that I was, literally, was a little bit further, of course. And I remember God saying, you have victory over the situation. And I remember I ate my meal in the presence of my enemy. And I remember looking at that bin and saying, you have not defeated us. And we came, and in this process, and God said to us that he was going to establish us over here. My children, they prefer fish fingers than Brazilian barbecue. You have no idea how painful it is for a Brazilian father. But still, it is something that they, is part of who they are. And in the last month, as we applied for our leave to remain, we have the entire time of visa to be able to do that. We never stay one day illegal. We never did anything illegal in this country. Always honor this country. And we apply for our visa, our leave to remain. It should take up to 6 months. It took 11 months, pretty much. And in this process, I was over there suffering. And I said, God, I know you said. But what if I made a mistake and I didn't understand? What if... Because now, I don't know about you, but sometimes we start losing hope. And I said, because it won't be, I will survive if I need to go back to Brazil. But the implication of that is not only that I'm going to have to come to my children and say, Elena, you need to say goodbye to your friends from school. She's going to be so heartbroken. And I was start overthinking this, but the major problem that I was really suffering inside is saying, God, what I'm really suffering over here is not because I know you said, it's because I said you said. And I'm a pastor in a church that I want to encourage people not to lose their hope. And it's sometimes God breaking us in pieces. And so many times we cried in our room. Or I cried when my wife was back to sleep so she wouldn't see. And I was over there inside being crushed by Jesus himself. And I said, God, you said. And I don't want to lose my hope. Because you said. And how I'm going to be back to church. And now I start saying, sorry, we need to go because I thought he said, but he didn't. But there was something in us. And I love the Bible verse that says that we sometimes we feel we don't have guarantee, but we do have guarantees because the Spirit of God is the guarantee. Because Bible says that we were left inside of us, the Spirit of God, which is the guarantee of all the promises we have in Jesus Christ. As many as they are all yes and amen in Christ. Because the Spirit of God is inside of us as a safe deposit, as a guarantee of everything that is yet to come. And we had to grasp hold on that. Because yes, there was a possibility that we have to come to you and say, we're going to miss you guys so much. And we had the best intention, but God has said. And we need to grasp that, my friend, because do you know what? Jesus has come. We are preparing our way to Christmas, and it is because Jesus has come. He was born. And he was born as someone that is just a baby because he wanted to show us the whole process of hoping for him. He is the Prince of Hope. He is the hope of God. There is hope for you and me this morning. There is hope. So do not lose your heart. Because you know what I've been understanding, that hope, we so long and so often we understand and we build the foundation of hope in doubt. So many times we are struggling because we are trying to build hope as someone who is expecting something he doesn't know what he is expecting. I'm over there at home. Something will happen. What? I don't know. And we build hope into something that is completely unknown. But Hebrews chapter 11, I want to read a piece of quickly in Romans, but I want to look how beautiful it is and how important it is to understand that that faith, the hope, is built. Look how this, the first verse of Hebrews 11 says, now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for. Hope, faith is built not on the things we doubt. Faith is built on the things we know. Hope is built on the knowledge of God. But so many times we keep building our, and we put in our hope in the unknown. And let me tell you something. Is everything promised to you, He made known. He made known everything that is to bring you hope this morning, everything that is to bring you expectation of what He can do is already revealed to you. Jesus came, He was born, and He went to the cross, and He died on the cross to show us that there is hope for us. But it is difficult to have hope. It is difficult because when we are going through the process itself, it's extremely chaotic. It's extremely, do you know, we started a service 2 hours ago, pretty much. In this last 2 hours, 200 people will be dead because of loneliness in the road. According to the Health Road Organization from UN, every hour on planet, 100 people die because of loneliness. We are talking about nearly 1 million people per year. 800,000 people dying of something that is related to loneliness. And I wonder how many of those people could be saved if they received the word of hope in their life. Something that says that God is faithful. God is faithful. Can you open your Bibles in Romans chapter 5? Therefore, Romans chapter 5. Since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. And we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also rejoice in our sufferings because we know that suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance produces character, and character produces hope. So often we build hope to this feeling that there is a desire for something we don't know what it is. And that can also relate to hope. And I'm not saying this is completely disconnected. But what the Holy Spirit wants to build in us is an expectation for what Jesus has already done. Do you know why we are suffering so much, so many times? Because we are working our entire life to make ourselves eternal here in a place that it is not our home. We hardly speak anymore in our churches about the day of the Lord. He is coming back. Is that your greatest hope? I grew up, my grandmother, she, every weekend we will go to swimming, and she always sung to us this song that you said, I think it's a hymn, that says that beyond the blue skies, Jesus went to prepare a home for me. So when I receive victory, when I reach victory, I grew up learning about the day of the Lord. He will come. And you know what He will do? He will take us to this place where there will be no suffering. There will be no pain anymore. Where this flesh that is so terrible will not be there anymore. I will receive a new body. I will receive a new body. There is hope. There is hope for the redeemed. There is hope for those who walk alone. There is hope. I don't know what are you lacking hope this morning. But I'm telling you something, my friend. I know what it is. Because I was like, God, what if I need to tell the church that I need to go back to Brazil? But you said, but what if, but you said, but what if, but you said. You said, but what if, but you said. And my friend, if I'm telling you this, it's because I understand now that this faith that all these men of and women of God in the Bible needs to inspire me to understand that in my story, I will make it because of the faith that I've put in Jesus Christ, and He will not let me down because of His promises, because of His faithfulness. We have and look how beautiful it is, the following verse. And hope does not disappoint us. Hope, that really means hope, the hope of Jesus Christ, do not disappoint us, because God has poured out His love into our hearts by the Spirit of God that He gave to us. My friend, let me tell you something. The hope that is sustaining you for so long, the hope that is sustaining your family for so long, this hope will not disappoint you. Even though you may feel sometimes, what is happening? What if? What if? What if? But this love does not disappoint us, because He is sustaining us with His love. This is true. And I believe God is here over us, with us this morning, because He wants to remind us this. Hope does not put us to shame. I believe God is here. I believe God wants to speak to us this morning. I believe God wants to renew our faith on Him this morning. I believe that maybe a lot of us over here are going through a lot. And I want to pray a little bit more for Monty this morning, my friend Henry, if you allow us to. Because we're going to have to have hope for one another. We're going to have to cry for one another. We're going to have the same mind and same heart that Jesus Christ had. And we're going to have to come to one another and say, my friend, do not lose hope. Do not let your heart be troubled today. Believe in me. Believe also in my Father. Jesus said this. So let's have a stand. Let's pray. And I know we like to pray by ourselves so often. But I believe that God is here. And my sister, I believe God wants to talk to you. You're over there in the back. Yes, I believe that God wants to renew hope in your life this morning. You are precious to God. And sorry for speaking over here on the phone. On the microphone, but I just want to say that God loves you. And He knows what you've been through this last couple of weeks. And you came over here this morning because He wants to tell you how precious you are to Him. So do not lose hope. Do not lose hope. God just asked me to tell you that He loves you so much. And He's with you in this process. Okay? Let's pray for one another. Let's pray. Where are you lacking hope? Where is getting too difficult? Which promises of God I believe God is saying to us this morning, He will take until the end. If you're about to lose hope this morning, Maybe it's something that you're caring for so long. Hope does not put us to shame because of His love that has been poured out over us. I believe this morning there are some people over here who has been fighting battles in their family really strong. People in their families are struggling with diseases. People in their family struggling with mental health. And I believe that God wants to visit you this morning and say there is hope. I think there's fathers here who are extremely tired this morning. Men, God is here with you this morning. God is reminding you, do not lose hope. Because God is with you. He will fulfill. I believe there's a lot of men here this morning that needs, you've been holding on for too long because of your wife, because of your family, because of your work. And it's been extremely heavy for you. But God wants to pour out His love over your life once again and to renew you and to renew your mind and to renew your hope on Him. So many times you have been like me, trying to cry hidden from your wife. But God is saying, there is no place you can hide from the love of God over your life, man. There's no place you can hide from Him. If you're losing hope, tell Him. Tell Him. Tell Him what He already knows. Because the Bible says that our prayers, before the words come to our mouth, He already knows what we want to say. So Father, this morning, we just come to You. We come to You because we need to renew our mind and our hope in Jesus Christ once again this morning. Hope does not put us to shame. Because it is sustained by Your love. So if anyone over here this morning is lacking, you feel that they are lacking love, I just pray, Father, that You can pour out the love of Jesus Christ over each one of us this morning. As we are preparing to go for Christmas, and we're going to experience joy, we're going to experience peace, we're going to experience love, we just pray that, Father, something in us can be ignited today, once again, to have expectations for what You're going to do. We pray for those who are in hospital. We pray for those who are sick. We pray for those who are poorly. We pray for salvation in our family. We pray for those who are walking away from You. We pray for our children. We pray for the marriages. We pray for those who are single, for those who have lost someone. Jesus Christ, You are alive today. Your Holy Spirit lives in us. And as many promises we have in You, they are all yes and amen because of Jesus Christ. So we just praise You because You are renewing Your presence among us. In Your name, Jesus. Amen. Just before we finish, sometimes we, have you prayed for healing before? We've been talking a lot about healing lately. One day I was in the church in Ross that we are part of, we have our church in Ross, and I was praying for healing, and someone came to talk to me and said, JP, I don't believe, and I don't think you should be praying for healing. Do you believe that everyone you pray for healing will be healed? And I'm going to tell you something, I believe. And sometimes I need to pray for a long time to believe. Because there are many moments that we struggle to look at something and have hope for that. But the Bible says that Jesus never asks, when the disciples were sent, He says, go, preach, heal, pray, do this and this and this. But he says, but I prayed for so many people, they were not healed. And I my explanation to him was like, so I'm going to tell you something. Do you know what sustained my faith and my hope when I pray for healing for someone? It's something called love. We do not lose hope, and hope does not put us to shame because of love. And I told him, do you know why? Because when my daughter sees his brother poorly, she does not think if God wants to heal or not. She just asks for it. She just says, God, my brother is poorly, pray for him, heal him. She doesn't even think why. Because of love. Because of love. And so many times we are losing our hope that Jesus will come and intervene on a situation. And I don't know what he will do, but he will sustain us, but because of his love. So my friend grasped to the promise that he came for you. He died on the cross for you. He will come back for you. He will redeem us back because of his love. This is the love that sustains the church. This is a promise that sustains the church. His love is enough. Nothing can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. So I said, that's why I always pray for healing. I always pray for blessing. Because I can't see my brother poorly and say, God, you have power, but I don't know if you want. So if God wants to do something different, his will be done. But on our exercise of faith, let's keep praying all the time. All the time declaring that the love of God will sustain us. That the love of God will accomplish his work. That the hope of God in us is sustained. The hope of God do not put us to shame because it is sustained by the love of Jesus Christ over me and over you. God bless you.